Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, women and children of all ages, welcome to the Week 5 Wrap-Up Show. I'm your host, Sirius, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Week 5 Wrap-Up. You know, there's a lot that we can discuss and we can talk about, but before we get too far into the getting-ons for this evening, I don't do it by myself. There's a whole slew of cats that are with me, none other than the homie Barry Villain Jordan. Barry, what's up to the people, homie?
What up? You know, Villain is in the house. The NFL free-for-all got a lot to discuss. Put your women and children to bed. It's about to get raw, something just real. But how you doing, Barry?
Yes. You know what? I'm good, man. I'm really not about to waste anybody else's time. Obviously, news broke over the weekend, but it came to a head yesterday. Former Raiders coach, former Tampa Bay coach, John Gruden has been asked to step down and has essentially resigned due to homophobic and misogynistic emails and racist emails that were sent. There's a plethora of different angles that we can take on this, Villain, but before I give my take on it and kind of put the pieces together and the puzzle together, what were your thoughts on what took place yesterday? And just kind of, you know, give me a feel for what you think about the whole situation.
John Gruden is a piece of trash. You know, he should never be allowed to have any kind of affiliation with the NFL ever again. You know, watching and listening to, you know, different pundits around the New York area and then on ESPN and everything. I mean, the kind of character, not portrayal of John Gruden kind of has been echoed the same that, you know, he says one thing in your face and says another thing behind your back. Who is never to be trusted. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the emails that came out, you know, it was one email that came out Friday, and then the avalanche came. And I think first thing, when we started talking about it, I was like, one email from 10 years ago, this is what we're talking about, this, and he's going to get canceled for this. And just not, understanding the full ramification of what was going on. But in the back of my mind, I think once you started hearing, like, there was almost a million emails, like over almost 700,000 emails, and you think only one email contained this, the avalanche is coming. And it came, it hit Monday, and I think it's kind of crazy that he was allowed to step down. He was allowed to resign, right? He should have been fired. I mean, it shouldn't have taken from Friday to Monday night for him to step down. Like, he should have been fired.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of angles to take on it, but, I mean, it's horrible, it's despicable. You know, you know, not only, you know, the NFL trying to progress and be more, you know, Black Lives Matter and you know, to have a fair environment for not just African-Americans, but minorities in general, women, all, you know, the LGBT community, everybody. And to have this just shows the hypocrisy in the NFL. And it's a long way to go. But there's a lot to unravel in this. But from my perspective, yeah. John Gruden, he's trash. And he should never have a job again.
You know, I definitely echo that sentiment. You know, before we get cracking, I wanted to give a shout out to the New York Times, who essentially broke this story wide open yesterday. But for me, this has so many different layers. I definitely echo the sentiments of yourself and several others around the world who are disgusted with John Gruden's behavior and John Gruden's his actions. Now, the biggest thing that I keep hearing, Barry, is that, you know, this is John Gruden of old, and, you know, these emails are, you know, 7 years ago and things of that nature. And for me, I said this earlier today, what was done in the darkness eventually comes out to light. And we can't right. have coaches and players and people on the sidelines in public, you know, office on public standards, a standing, having this type of, you know, rhetoric and their heart and this type of stuff. For me, this even goes deeper than John Gruden. This affects his family. This affects mm-hmm. Jay Gruden, who was his brother, who was potentially yeah. looking at returning back to coaching. Now he is probably not going to be able to return back to coaching. He's one hell of an offensive coordinator. He's not going to be able to coach. This opens up Pandora's box, so to speak, with the Washington football team, because he was corresponding with former executive of the Washington football team as far as getting explicit pictures from cheerleaders and things of that nature. So they uncovered John Gruden's email, but keep in mind the Washington football team just had the SWAT team and everybody literally 5 minutes from my front door right in that facility due to different things that took place. And now on top of that, to come to find out that the former executive was involved in this type of misogynist type of stuff, and there was emails that were sealed. And I'm reading a report now on PFT yep. that talks about how now they want all the emails to be public. They mm-hmm. want they want it all out in the open. When the Washington football team concluded their investigation in July, you know, things were sealed. They gave pretty much a blanket statement that said we conducted our investigation and things of that nature. But I question that now, because, I mean, I'm no idiot. We understood that there was more, you know, underneath the surface that they were trying to pass over and cover up. You know, so sure. yeah, John Gruden is the catalyst, and John Gruden is the guy that's being held to the fire for this particular situation. But I fear that there is just more stuff bubbling underneath the surface that is about to explode. And unfortunately, I have no love lost for anybody who's caught in the crosshair. Like, I'm a Tomlin guy. I don't think Tomlin would do this, but if Tomlin would get involved in something like this, it would be a problem. I just have no understanding as to why Gruden and others like him would engage in that type of activity. As a matter of fact, John Gruden has an openly gay player on his roster right now. How does
yeah,
he feel?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he has to answer those questions now.
Right, right. The Raiders players and NFL people are like, I mean, yeah, Booger McFarland said it perfectly clear on the show yesterday. You know, you have decals on helmets and, you know, affect change in stadiums and, you know, stop hate, all this other type of stuff. You were a catalyst for that. But then we come to find out that was all lip service. That's not how you really think. That's not how you feel. You know, I mean, there are so many different ways we can take this. And I'm just, I'm befuddled. You know, I'm not going to take the approach that Keyshawn Johnson took, where Keyshawn pretty much said, you know what, he always knew that he was this type of way, and Keyshawn stopped. Nobody knew. I don't think anybody.
I mean, maybe he did know, and he just didn't say anything out of respect, like he didn't want to, you know, stop it.
I don't.
Right.
The thing is with Keyshawn, like if Keyshawn knew something like this, he would have said something a whole lot sooner. You know what I'm saying? John Gruden was one of the most beloved men in this game. You know, you got Peyton Manning and John Gruden, like the two kind of work hand in hand. Tony Dungy, John Gruden. Like when you look at the patriarchs or the Mount Rushmores, if you will, of NFL players, John Gruden's name has always come up. Now, I have my own personal issue with John Gruden, but that's neither here nor there. He's always been in the forefront of pushing the game forward. He can break down film not like no other. He was the one that was the catalyst for the QB Academy, and, you know, he brought back the Monday Night Football thing, and he was the reason why Monday Night Football was what it was when he was there, and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. He was the first coach to sign a 10-year or $100 million deal. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at John Gruden, you know, he was the quintessential guy. You know, this is the second tenure there. So, I mean, his resume speaks for itself. So to come to find out that somebody who, you know, worked with African Americans and worked with people of color on a continual basis, who has a wife, who has a family, so to be engaging in such heinous activities and to be receiving pornographic pictures from another GM or another owner of that magnitude is quite troubling for me. You know, at the end of the day, he has to look at himself in the mirror. He has to look at his family in the mirror and deal with that. And I'm not too sure how, when, or if he recovers. Like, I don't think he will ever coach again. Don't get it twisted. But my hope and my charge for John Gruden is that he's able to right some type of wrong and become a catalyst for change. Listen, this is how I was. This is who I was doing. This is what it cost me. It cost me my career. It cost me my ability to coach football. It cost me my ability to be on TV and do a bunch of different things. I lost the Tampa Bay Ring of Honor because of this, and I lost the ability to do all this sort of thing that the game of football awarded me. Don't be like me. Do not make the same mistakes I did. If there's hatred and if there's bigotry and if there's misogynistic, you know, stuff in your heart, speak to somebody. If you don't have answers to the questions, ask the questions to the right group of people to get you the answer that you need. We're not saying that you have to, you know, start marching at, you know, Black Lives Matter rallies. You're not asking me to start, you know, painting rainbows and hearts and stuff on your chest to represent the acceptance of, you know, the alternative lifestyle, whatever the case may be. But you cannot send this type of stuff through email or on person or on tweets or whatever the case may be and expect in 2021 to be an acceptable member of society and to work and play and to live amongst the masses. If that's how you feel, and that's how you want, and if you want to continue to have that type of stuff in your heart, then sit your ass at home and don't come out nowhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's frustrating me, man.
I feel you, and I'm looking at this from the top down, right? And you know, the fact that he had the balls to put it in an email is indicative of the whole problem I see with the NFL. I work corporate. I wouldn't put anything like this in an email. But you're talking about Gruden coming from a good old boys type of mentality where this was, you know, fair game. He checked every box that you could possibly checked or offend somebody. Racist, bigotry, anti-gay, misogynistic, you name it, he was on it. Calling Roger Goodell the P-word and the F-word, F-A-G-G, you know what I mean? Like, saying it was, you know, criticizing Jeff Fisher, calling him queer by drafting Michael Sam, that he shouldn't have been in the league. Derek Reed should have been kicked out of the league for kneeling. There shouldn't be women refereeing games. Like, he checked every box that you possibly can.
Every box.
And why did he? Yeah, and why did he? Because he was enabled. Because there's owners out there that just condone it. There was emails, group texts or group messages that were going back and forth, good old boy mentality that allowed this kind of behavior to go on. You're talking about the Rod Rooney rule. I've said it before. Serious. We've said it on shows. I've said it. You guys maybe thought I was crazy. It's BS. You have it's a problem with the whole structure of the league. You have all these players, 70% of the league are African American or minority of some sort, but the ownership is white. The management is mostly white and some females. You're talking about a team that was a trailblazer in Al Davis, right? He was the first owner to hire a African-American coach in the modern era, right? There was an African-American coach in 1920, but in the modern era, he was the first. He was the first to hire a female executive, and she's really high up in the Raiders organization right now. So to go from that to this, it's just – and the fact that this happened over 10 years, over a seven-year span 10 years ago, and he still got a job, is what disgusts me the most, because you didn't go through the process of hiring a qualified candidate. You hired your boy. Either you didn't know or you didn't care that this type of stuff was going on in the background. You didn't do your homework because you wanted your guy. This is why African-Americans or minorities like Ron Rivera can't get jobs, because you got guys that are juiced in, got white privilege, get it from these white owners that will get a job at any point at any time, because that's a good old boy mentality, right? So so many levels to this. There's so many levels that you have to comb through. I mean, you know, you could talk about how some people said, okay, the first email was about black people. Nobody said anything. He was able to coach the next game. But then once the anti-gay and all that other stuff came out, he was relieved of his duties, to quote unquote. So, like, black lives don't matter, but when you offend gays, no. You could go so many different ways with it, but the fact that this guy has a job, had a job, and was allowed to quit, not fired, allowed to quit, is a problem. The fact that he had a job was a problem. You didn't go through the process. There's a more Mike Tomlin is the reason the Rodney rule exists, because he was never thought of as a candidate. Wowed them because they were like, oh, wow, this guy really knows. And a Super Bowl later, he's still the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers and deservingly so. That doesn't happen without the Rodney rule, right? The fact this guy got a 10-year, $100 million contract to run the organization or as a GM or what have you, player personnel, I don't know how they kind of figure it, but to be the coach, right, is a joke. It's a joke. Everybody criticized Jay-Z after Colin Kaepernick and all that for going to the table with Roger Goodell. You know why he went there? Because he had a seat at the table. If he doesn't have a seat at the table, when are we going to, as African-Americans, going to own our own team in the NFL? Because we're not getting in right now. It's a good old boy mentality, a bunch of white owners with a, you know, field hand for players, and that, it'll never change if somebody doesn't say, you know what, I'll take the bullet. You know, even his own black people, Sean Carter, Jay-Z, he got it from us. Because he was sat at the table, but at least he's at the table. And that's the problem.
He has a seat.
Right. And he'll never have a seat because it's all white owners, all of them. Mostly male, barely female, but all white owners. And it's never going to change. It's until we make a change, until we stand up. And we get these type of people and the people that enabled him out of here. And we're done with it.
And see, that's the thing that baffles me, Barry, you know what I'm saying? And the fact that there is still more to unpack. Like, so people enabled this to go on. You know, this wasn't a one-time, oops, my bad, I accidentally said that, or oops, my bad, I accidentally sent this, or oops, my bad, I accidentally, like, the way these emails are crafted and worded and the back and forth, like you said, he hit every demographic imaginable, you know.
For
7 years, and that's just the emails that were leaked. We still got 600
because of an investigation into Dan Snyder. Because of an investigation into Dan Snyder, you got this. What happened?
Exactly.
What if we kept going? What if we kept digging?
Well, see, that's why I honestly understand. I really believe that the rest of the emails that were under wraps or whatever needs to be let out. Because if we're going to seriously eradicate the NFL with this particular issue that is very well known, then once again, what's done in the darkness needs to come to the light. You know what I'm saying? And you really have to rid yourself and gut this type of mentality out of your system and out of your product. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say I'm scared to death, but I'm curious to see who else is involved in this. Who else has been, you know, sending misogynistic stuff? Who else has been, you know, dealing with that sort of stuff? Again, it's unfortunate with Jay Gruden being related to John, you know, he's screwed now. And I said this earlier, you know what I'm saying? The Washington football team was under investigation. They didn't even interview Jay Gruden, which is bizarre to me. Like, how do you conduct a full investigation on the workplace environment and everything, and you don't talk to the third man in charge of the whole damn building? Like, did you actually talk to Jay? Did you actually talk to Dan Snyder? Did you actually talk to Bruce Allen? Jay Gruden came out today on a radio network here in town and said that he was never spoken to. Hold on a second. Stop. What do you mean? He was never spoken to? And then you just closed up the investigation? Like, this reeks of cover-up. This reeks of a bunch of other stuff. And then this poses another question. How in the world, very much so, how in the world or why did these particular emails, like, these had to have been hand-picked emails get released? Like, who made the call on Thursday afternoon to be like, you know what, let's release this one here, and then let this other stuff get released. Like, who makes that call? Why was that call even made? Like, I'm so baffled by this. And again, I'm glad it's out. I'm glad, you know, he's been exposed and, you know, he's gone or whatever case may be, because he's the NFL, this type of stuff. But, like, how was that decision made? Why was that decision made? Like, what the actual heck is going on here? Like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, and you're talking about, so who were they sent to? I want to know the names. Who were the people in the emails that condoned this, right?
Who was CC'd on it?
And right. Like, so then you start following breadcrumbs. You wonder why Kaepernick was blackballed out of the league? Because it's crap like this, right? Because this is how those people that were in charge all thought. And you thought, you didn't think it was a conspiracy theory? It is. It starts peeling back layers upon layers upon layers, and I'm telling you, it's bigger than just, you know, cancel culture. This is the culture of the NFL that needs to change. It's the culture.
Yes, sir.
Okay. He shouldn't have been allowed to coach that game against the Bears. If I'm like, and to your point, Carl Nassib now has to answer, the first openly or one of the few openly gay players has to answer these questions, and you know they're coming tomorrow. It's a press day, right? He has to answer these questions.
Yeah.
The players have to answer these questions. Jay Gruden probably has to answer questions, right? Because he's his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Allen, you know, who has to answer these questions? Like, there's a list. Like, he shouldn't have been allowed to coach that game.
He shouldn't have been allowed to coach.
Davis shouldn't have waited until the end of Monday to meet with him. You should have met with him, because you know the NFL did their investigation. You know they had the information. They were probably waiting for Davis to do something before they started releasing stuff. It's a collusion. It's ridiculous that he was allowed to coach. That he did, and then here's this is the last place I'll take this, Darius. You can take it home, and if you want to keep going, I'll keep going with you, brother.
Call
number 929. I gotta bring it. Call it number 929-477-2759. NFL Free for All. Sirius is your host, the Jones on his side. His apology, because you said he has to apologize, show contrite, and come back in this. Maybe he can. His for this is garbage.
It was so garbage. It was trash.
Garbage because you're sorry. You didn't want to cause. You never meant to cause anybody any pain. I didn't hear an apology. To the people that you offended. You didn't mean to hurt anybody. What about Michael Sam? You hurt him, right? You hurt him with the comments because you were coming after him. What about Jeff Fisher? You hurt him with the emails, right? The female officials that are out there. I don't know them by name. I apologize. Eric Reed, you meant to hurt him, right, when you said that he should have been fired for kneeling. There's people that you hurt with these emails. It's not that you didn't mean to hurt anybody. You're sorry you got caught. That's what's the problem. You're sorry you got caught. Your little back room, good old boys, boys club got exposed, and now you're sorry that you lost your job. You're sorry that you might not get the rest of your contract. You might get it, but you might not get it. You're sorry that you're not the coach anymore. You're not sorry you hurt anybody. That apology's crap. I don't accept it. And it's a part of the problem. The fact that you never meant to hurt anybody and you were allowed to resign because you didn't want to be a distraction is crap. Until I get a real apology, I don't accept it, because I still know people personally in my life that will still carry the cross with Michael Vick. That still don't forgive him for what he did.
Right.
If they feel like this, how do you think we should feel as minorities or females or the lesbian gay community? Or, you know what I mean? After this, I don't accept your apology. It's crap.
It was so professionally done. It was so like public relations, like his agent or, you know, somebody like, I have resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not wish to be a distraction. What? Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry I never meant to hurt anybody. Get the actual hell out of here. Are you kidding me, dog? Are you kidding me? Not once I apologize to the African-American community. I apologize to the LGBTQ+ community, to Roger Goodell, DeMora Smith, former President Barack Obama. Mention them by name. You was bold enough to mention their name in an email. Be bold enough to mention their name in your apology.
Preach.
Honestly, the bigger the disrespect, the bigger the apology should be, in my opinion. If you're going to be this bold and mention names and call people out of their name and, you know, use racial and, you know, misogynistic slurs, then I'm sorry, bro, this little makeshift public relation apology ain't nothing.
Right.
Isn't nothing. So with that being said, I'll leave it there, man. Again, we could talk about this for the rest of the show, and I'm sure we will hit us on, you know, on the Callers Cookout tomorrow. By the way, if hit us up tomorrow on the Callers Cookout, man. We're going to be talking everything on the Callers Cookout tomorrow here on the network. But with that being said, Villain, I'm going to switch gears real quick. If I could honestly, you know, wrap up week 5, it would be injuries, man. Like, there are a ton of names on this list. I'm running through
injuries
a little bit
and kickers.
Oh, God, yeah, injuries and kickers. Good Lord have mercy. Kansas City Chiefs, Quiet Edwards-Helaire, left with the knee. Tyreek Hill is dealing with another knee. Travis Kelce has a stinger, that's what they're calling it. Joe Burrow was taken to the hospital for a throat contusion. All sounds like he's going to be good to go this upcoming week. I can just wrap up the New York Giants with everybody hurt. Everybody
but the ball boy.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he better be careful because he may be gone too. let's see. The Chicago Bears got some injuries. Pittsburgh, Juju is going to be gone for the year. like a significant shoulder injury. Devin Bush has a groin. Levante David for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has an ankle. Washington, Curtis Samuel, once again, is hurt, is gone. They lost their offensive lineman. For the Detroit Lions, Cephas suffered a shoulder. Oh, God, Damon Harris for the New England Patriots exited the game and came back in and re-exited with ribs, so he's listed as day-to-day. So, I mean, there are so many injuries that went across week five. If you had to pick one, you know, a couple that you're keeping an eye on as we turn the page to week six, which one are you keeping an eye on?
The injury-wise, I mean, Big Ron dodged the bullet. Yeah. I think Kenny Galladay dodged the bullet. Not sure about Daniel Jones. I mean, I know he's in concussion protocol. I don't know if you saw that hit. I've seen a lot of concussions. That was scary. To see him get up and then to wobble like that, that was scary because I've seen it before. You know, I've seen my friend get concussions. That's scary.
Yeah.
And the referees, you know, stepped right in, did the right thing to get him, you know, get him help and, go down, you know, et cetera. Dalvin Cook is another one because he tried to go, didn't make it. Yeah. So that's a worrisome injury right there. Mm-hmm. I think probably the most significant that dodged the bullet. They were talking about Russell Wilson not being able to throw a football again because of the severity of that hand injury. I mean, I saw it and I didn't think much of it because it's like I think Stafford had kind of the same thing, popped it back in and went back in. But then when you saw the broken bone in his hand and then the possible ligament damage that he could have done, we could have seen the very last of Russell Wilson. That to me, you know, out of the biggest bullets dodge, I think was probably the biggest.
Yeah. You know, Russell Wilson's injury is something that it's wild to actually think about, especially being a quarterback. Like,
right.
That is the job. Throwing the football is the job. So I'm glad he's going to be able to get back to healthy. I'm glad he's not playing this weekend because, you know, he's got the behind field, and I hate dealing with that guy. But
Fear Gino. Honestly, Gino!
Yeah, man, I got Gino, man. I'm having to deal with Gino and Alex Collins this week. I mean, I don't even think Chris Carson's going to play. He's another guy who we need to keep an eye on.
Absolutely.
You know, for me, honestly, obviously Devin Bush comes to mind being a Steeler fan. I'm going to need him to kind of get himself back right. He's dealing with a groin. It seems like everybody on my roster has dealt with a groin of some kind. But honestly, the biggest one for me that I'm keeping an eye on is Tyreek Hill. You know, if the Kansas City Chiefs do not have that guy on the field and able to extract coverage away from others or Cook a secondary, it totally changes the way the Kansas City Chiefs run their offense. Now, granted, they're losing because they can't stop nobody, but you got to be able to put up some points, and I think this is a game here versus the Washington football team where a significant amount of points are going to be scored because both defenses are horrible, and Tyreek Hill is going to be the catalyst that the Kansas City Chiefs ride to kind of get themselves back on the winning foot. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in my opinion, was a liability on the field to begin with. He's having, in my opinion, you know, a subpar year. Again, there's a lot of football left, but through five, I haven't really been impressed with him. Wish him the best of luck in the speedy recovery. We don't want to see anybody get hurt. But I don't think the loss of him is going to mean as much as it would be if Tyreek Hill didn't suit up on Sundays, man. With that being said, we're going to switch gears real quick and kind of talk about the game Sunday. A lot of things went down on Sunday that are interesting. Obviously, the missed field goals and the kicker situation in week five is something that's going to be talked about. But if you had to handpick a game that you had your eye on besides your particular game, which was it and why?
I actually, yeah, I mean, my game was just brutal. I'm going to look at it a couple ways. Last night's game was amazing. Put respect on Lamar Jackson's name, because not only did he lead that team back, he led them back with his arm. Almost, you know, over 440 yards passing, four touchdowns. Only missed, what, seven passes the whole game? Was 30.
Yeah,
he was a phenomenal. And, I was sweating bullets because I picked the Ravens for my survivor pool. So I'm like, oh, my God, no. And I don't know if you read my article, but I was like, that's the pick. That's the game you got to pick. And then I'm like, am I going to lose this on this? So, but other than that, two games I was impressed with. The Chargers are real. Justin Herbert is quickly becoming one of the best quarterbacks in this league. He reminds me of Dan Marino, how the ball used to come out of his hands and you could hear it, like that snap, and then you just hear it go by you. He's got some kind of arm. I mean, he is phenomenal. Those Chargers have weapons. I've always said they did. Keenan Allen is one of the most underappreciated receivers in the league. Eckler is just a phenomenal running back. That's a good team. Another team, I know you're going to laugh at me, that I was impressed with, the Bengals. Even though they're 3-2 right now, they should have won that game if it wasn't for the kickers, right? But
right.
They got weapons, man. That offense, they need to keep Burrow healthy. I really thought they should have went with the lineman from Oregon instead of the receiver. But you can't pass those weapons up. And E. Higgins, they got some weapons mixing in the back. They're going to be hanging around. They're a 9-10 win team this year, I think, to be honest with you.
It's very possible.
Those,
it's very, very possible.
Those are the games I was impressed with.
You know, honestly, I'm going to literally pick right up where you left off. Watching that Green Bay Packers Cincinnati game was interesting. I was at the sports bar, you know, watching that ball game kind of out of my peripheral. And honestly, for me, every time I blinked, there was a touchdown scored or a field goal missed. And I'm sitting there with the Bengal fan. He got the Joe Burrow jersey on, and obviously he and I are talking trash because, you know, we're division rivals and they beat us, it's 9-3. And I said this to him. I said this is later to the thing. I was like, yo, y'all going to be a problem. The biggest issue with the Bengals is their defense. They fix their defense.
Right.
You know, and figure some things out on their defense, they're going to be an issue because that offense can score. You know, the camaraderie that you get with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase from, you know, their days and at LSU, and, you know, you got a healthy Joe Mixon and you supplement that with Samaje Perine, that's going to be one hell of a tandem for my division to deal with, let alone the rest of the NFL. Obviously, the other game I kept an eye on, again, I people will think I'm laughing at this, but this Minnesota Vikings-Detroit game, I honestly really, really, really feel bad for the Detroit Lions. You know,
I do too.
They are losing in ways that are just, again, as a football player, as a competitor, they're just losing in ways that is just ripping my heart out. I mean, then to see the coach, you know, at the press conference just break down like that, and, you know, I understand that he cares, and he's fighting for his players, and I had to come after a guy on Facebook who was talking about firing the coach. I was like, bro, no, listen, he doesn't have the wins. I get that. He doesn't have the wins right now, but his team is playing hard. He's honestly working with, you know, what's at his disposal. And literally, you are a career-high field goal away from having one win. You are a mixed extra point away from having another win. Like, the Detroit Lions.
They're the best 0-5 team.
Right.
They're the best overall team I've seen in a long time.
I thought the Green Bay game, they've been in majority of these games.
Right.
Now, granted, they did come back and fight, you know, I think it was week one or something like that where they were down big.
The 49ers.
And, you know,
49ers.
They were down to the 49ers and came back to make it a game. So I'm really not going to count that one. But literally, they should at least have two wins right now. At least.
They should be 3-2.
And
they should be 3-2.
Case could be day 3-2. But, I mean, at least two. At least two.
I know that TP probably is frustrated as a Lions fan because it's more of the same losing. You know, they could have won that Niners game. That, you know, they were down 8 and threw that pick with a minute left. The Packers game, they weren't really in it. The Ravens and the Vikings, 2-3, maybe 3-2 is possible.
Yeah.
But I think, if anything, I would be proud to be a Lions fan right now, because in the sense that the coach cares, he's fighting, like you said, he's fighting for his players, and the players, they're playing hard. There's a lot of quit in 0-5 teams. There's no quit in this team. They're snake bitten, and they're a better team than their record shows.
Right. I actually agree with you there. So, again, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, I know TP's one, and I got a couple friends of mine who are Lions fans. Honestly, stay the course. You know, this is a marathon, not a sprint. You know,
Right. Nobody's
really picking you guys to make a playoff push. But, you know, you are seeing the fruits of your labor, and you're literally stacking good performance after solid performance. And one day, you know, you guys are going to get that one, and then it could potentially snowball. The other game besides my own that I kept an eye on, obviously, for reasons, you know, was the Philadelphia Eagles Carolina Panthers game. This is two losses in a row for the Carolina Panthers, who started off the season hot. Has Sam Darnold cooled down? Has he figured, you know, hasn't been figured out? Obviously, the loss of Christian McCaffrey week two, you know, is what people are talking about. But, you know, what's going on with Carolina, man? Do you happen to take a look at that game? What were your thoughts? With the Carolina Panthers losing 18-21 to the Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean, I caught a little bit of it because I told you I was at my son's game, so I'm like watching him and watching Red Zone on my phone. Just the way God intended. Listen, I think the offense is struggling a little bit, to your point, without McCaffrey. Even though Hubbard had 101 yards rushing, you know, it's still – you can't replace McCaffrey. He's such a dynamic weapon out of the backfield, running and catching the ball. I think he's a security blanket for Darnold. I think he's kind of, when you have to have him do a lot, it's not going to work. Darnold is like the Eli Manning, not as good as Eli, but you have to put pieces around Eli to make him successful. Eli can't do it himself like an Aaron Rodgers can. He can't make players better. You need good players around him. I think that's kind of what Darnold is going on. And I think the defense, even though they only gave up 21 points, the defense is struggling a little bit. I think, you know, losing Horn is a problem. But, you know, they kind of let up some late points and couldn't really get stops and get off the field when they needed to. So I think there's some things defensively that they need to address. A lot of teams that were 0-3 at one point have kind of fallen down a little bit, right? The Panthers, the Raiders, who else?
The Broncos.
The Broncos. I think those three teams essentially are pretenders. I don't think they are contenders. Uh-huh. I thought the Raiders were probably the best out of the three. I thought the Carolina Panthers are a little ahead of schedule, a little young. But the Raiders are, you know, they're a mess for a reason, not on the field. But, you know, the Raiders' defense is not really playing up to snuff right now. I think those teams, I think the Broncos kind of got exposed by your Steelers a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think those three teams aren't playoff teams.
All right. You know, honestly, for me, the jury's still out for me on Denver. I think they still have a solid enough defense. And for me, again, you have that extra playoff spot, an extra week or whatever it can be. So it's very, very possible that Denver backs their way in. With everything circling the Raiders, I don't know. I would have to take a hard look at the rest of their schedule and kind of, see what's on the table for them. I know that Derek Carr came out and said, that they're playing below the line and that they need to get back right, drop into the Chicago Bears 20-9 and wake up this whole Gruden thing.
And so playing the NFC East helps, right? So they get the Giants, the Washington football team, and they already played they play the Eagles too, so it helps, mm-hmm. right? To your point.
It does.
Yeah.
So another game I wanted to talk about real quick, and then we can go to the big boy games, the Sunday night and Monday. We got about 14 minutes left. Calling number is 929-477-2759 if you want to jump in here and talk with me and Villain about week five. The other game that I wanted to talk about, man, was the debut at starting quarterback for Trey Lance of the San Francisco 49ers. Unfortunately, it came in a losing effort, dropping 17-10. It wasn't the pretty show of the Arizona Cardinals that we have grown accustomed to. It was something that they had to grind it out. What was your thinking on that particular game? Again, I understand in that same window, the Cowboys were doing whatever they wanted to do to the Giants, but I'm sure you caught a little bit of that game. What was your thinking about it?
Very little, because, listen, 49ers defense is legit. And, the Cardinals that came in scoring about, 35 points a game, and they got held to half of that. Their defense is legit. But the Cardinals defense, which has kind of been getting pushed around a little bit the last few weeks, stepped up in a big way against the 49ers. Now, the 49ers really are kind of trying to piece it together with their quarterback, right? Lance is in for Garoppolo. The running back situation's a little murky. They couldn't really get Deebo Samuel the ball until they actually had to put him at running back and give him the ball to run in a touchdown. So I think the Cardinals are impressive. I think they're a playoff team. Do I think they're the best team in that division? No. I still think the Rams are, even though they beat them head-to-head. But the Cardinals are impressive. They're going to be they're going to be a team that if they don't win the division, that they're going to come into your building as you're being a division winner. I see them probably taking on the Cowboys and look out, right? That 4-5 game, look out.
They're a good team. That's going to be pretty.
Chasing around Murray, it ain't going to be easy. You know what I mean? So, I was impressed with the Cardinals. I think the 49ers, they have a little bit of ways to go. Their offense hasn't caught up to the defense yet. But I think this was a slugfest that we kind of missed in the NFL, right?
Yeah, that was interesting. I wasn't expecting that out of that game. I expected a lot more points. Obviously, those of us who play fantasy, you and I both. Involved in fantasy, I actually had Kyler Murray running in a super flex league, and I ended up losing that league because I had him running, and I also had Matthew Stafford, and both kind of underperformed this weekend. Honestly, the game of the week, the game of the year, in my opinion, and again, you mentioned them earlier, was this L.A. Chargers versus Cleveland Browns game where. There were a total of 90-some-odd points scored between both of them. What in the world happened? I didn't pick this game to be as high as it was. I have a Facebook friend who did. She thought it was going to be that high. I didn't. I just honestly thought that, I thought the Chargers would win because I figured they were the better team. And Baker Mayfield isn't playing up to par, so I figured the Chargers would win, but I didn't expect 42 points from Cleveland. I sure as hell didn't expect 47 out of L.A. What were your thoughts that game? I mean, it was a fantasy football bonanza. anybody but Odell Beckham Jr. scored.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of the takeaways, right, that Odell wasn't involved. There was a lot of points, and Njoku had a really good game. Chubb had over 100 yards. Baker over 300 yards, and Beckham wasn't involved. Wow, right? I had Herbert for fantasy, 50-plus points, booyah, but then I went against Lamar Jackson. Oops. So, it was kind of like an offset, right? But listen, can I get one game where Baker loses and I don't have to hear from his fiance or wife or girlfriend or whoever it is when people say that he can't get it done and then I got to hear from her? Like, really? Like, don't you have a commercial?
I mean,
like, I'm done with that.
Case could be made the same for Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend or fiance too.
Yeah,
like, both these ladies are on Twitter killing cats right now.
Exactly. Stand by your man, but I mean, really? Is that what we're doing right now? I mean, listen. They were the first team to have over 400 yards of offense, no turnovers, and lose, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy stat, right?
Yeah.
So
that's insane.
One thing I learned, I think, Baker can play. I don't know if he can lead them to the Super Bowl. I know he can play in this league, and I think he's a playoff caliber quarterback. It's going to take a little bit to get him over the hump. I think it's kind of like Eli. Everybody thought Eli was just a playoff quarterback, and then he had that run and then, had another run. So I think that's kind of where you can see Baker end up. A better performance than he had against the Vikings where he just looked horrid and didn't question, right? But like I said, Justin Herbert, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert is
something. Yeah.
He's
something to watch.
He is quickly – yeah, he is. He's fun to watch. He's quickly becoming one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And to see where he started, right, where he was coming out of Oregon, there was a lot of questions about him. Everybody knew he was a super talent at Oregon, but there was question marks about him, right? And he slipped in the draft. If one of those GMs, you're the GMs that passed on him, how do you justify that? Because what did you see that the Chargers didn't see? Like, I don't know. This kid can make every throw. If you're in practice and you're wowing Drew Brees in practice with the throws, I mean, what else can you say?
Insane.
Chargers are for real. The Chargers are scary. They've beaten the Browns, a very good defense. They beat the Chiefs, who are crappy on defense, but the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They went into they came back against the football team where that the football team's defense is just terrible, but they're impressive. They're an impressive team.
Yeah, and the fun thing about it is, villain, the Chargers play the Ravens this week in Baltimore.
That's gonna be
talk
fun.
Talk about an interesting slate of games. And actually, I'm gonna go ahead and flip the page. We got 5 minutes left. The games this upcoming week, man. We got obviously the Chargers playing the Baltimore Ravens. We got
The Bills and Chiefs. You didn't even talk Bills and Chiefs.
Oh yeah. Let me back up a second. I'm trying to turn the page and everything. Let's go back a second. So Bills, Chiefs. Like, I just bypassed the Bills. You know what I'm saying? I mean, honestly, the Bills and Chiefs.
Yeah.
38-20, Chiefs go down at home. What were your thoughts on that particular game? I mean, honestly, I don't want to say this was Josh Allen's coming out party, but he literally, the Buffalo Bills kicked the door down and was like, yo, listen, we're the best team in the AFC, let alone possibly the whole league. What do you think about Buffalo, Kansas City?
The Bills are a good team. Josh Allen can beat you a lot of different ways. I think they're starting to finally kind of get into their groove and figure it out after a tough game against your Steelers in week one. I think Allen's making plays on the move. They're running the ball. And I think the defense is kind of getting into gear too. The Chiefs are a playoff team because of Patrick Mahomes and, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. But they're trash. That defense is despicable. They cannot stop anybody. That defense will not be able to win them a playoff game. They'll get into the playoffs just because of Patrick Mahomes, but they're not a playoff team. They're not able to win unless they make you know, they just don't have enough to run his type of defense, so an attack-style defense. So they got a lot to do to shore that up. But the Chiefs are in trouble. And if they keep losing these type of games in the Chargers, they're not going to catch the Chargers. You know, the Chiefs might be a wild card.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm not prepared to do the Stephen A. Smith hot take, the Kansas City Chiefs are done and yada, yada, yada. But I will say this about the Kansas City Chiefs. They need to start stacking some wins and stacking them quickly. Because, like you alluded to, the Chargers are no joke. And you still got to play them once again. And they're building. You know what I'm saying? Like, they came to your house, ate your food, kicked your dog, you know, literally. So with that being said, you know, they got Washington, they got the Titans, and then they play your Giants. You know,
they
all intents and purposes, you know, they should be able to get, you know, at least two of these ones. I do expect them to win all three. Then, you know, it kind of gets difficult. They got Green Bay, the Raiders, the Dallas Cowboys for their bye. Then they come out of their bye, got two division games, actually three division games back-to-back. They got the Broncos, the Raiders, the Chargers. Then they play us. You know, who knows what we do there. they play us, and then they got Cincinnati and Denver to close up the year. So they had better start stacking some wins, or it's going to be a long off season for the Chiefs. I do think they get back right this weekend. I do think they blow out, in my opinion, the Kansas City, the Washington football team, to get back right. You already alluded to the Monday night game when you were speaking before. We got about 2.5 minutes left. I did want to kind of look ahead a little bit to next week's games.
Okay.
Like I said, we do have the the LA Chargers going to Baltimore to play the Baltimore Ravens. That's going to be a good one. I think this Thursday night one, honestly, is going to be interesting. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road playing Philly. There's something about that game that's interesting, you know, besides the fact that my wife's an Eagles fan, but there's something about that game that's kind of yelling at me. The other game I wanted to talk about was this divisional game right here with the Raiders going to Denver. Both teams are 3-2. It's a division opponent. Obviously, in light of everything that's been going on, you know, how does the Raiders perform? How do they stack up? Do they come motivated, ready to play? These are two teams that started out 3-0 who have lost their last two. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that whole thing shakes out. Baltimore, Pittsburgh plays on Sunday night, and then obviously the Monday night one, the Buffalo Bills play on the road at the Tennessee Titans. So we got a lot of football left ahead of us. It's really not conducive to winning performances, to be high, to get too low. Just stay the course, man. With that being said, you got about 60 seconds left.
You know, the Cardinals Browns game too, serious. That's going to be a really good game. I think that's probably the best matchup of the week.
It's going to be a good one, man. I mean, this is going to be a real test to me to see if these two teams are for real. Obviously, Kyler Murray's an MVP candidate, but you need to be able to beat Cleveland. And Cleveland has a decent front, so you have to beat them with the arm, because I don't think Myles Garrett and Cubs are going to let you run around back there.
Right.
With that being said, Zilla, get us out of here, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know what to do. Sports City Chefs, get to the website, the blogs, the interview. Blogs are up. You know, we're doing a lot of big things, finger foods on the YouTube channel, exclusively on the YouTube channel. The Steelers edition's up. The Giants edition will be up tomorrow at some point. You got the college cookout tomorrow, 9:00 Eastern Standard Time, the baseball buffet in the playoff mode. The Crossover Cafe is coming back next week. We got a lot of things cooking for you. So with that being said, Sirius, it's always a pleasure doing a show with you. Love doing it. Tell a friend to tell a friend. It's the chef again, if they don't know.
And if they don't know, now they know.
Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, chef. Yeah. Cabby. Todd. Woo! Connecticut.